Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readersoffreedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readersoffreedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already moved.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence. Yeah, I'm still fighting that eye infection. They got both eyes. I look like Resident Evil now, man. You know, I'm going to give the state the Resident Evil eye. You know what I mean? Yo, what about medications? Okay. Now, here I've shown you medications, an over-the-counter kind of eye dropping, make sure anesthetic kind of whatever, make you feel better. And then, but this one right here, it's got antibiotics in it, and it'll make it better. And it'll fix it. It's illegal for me to use it, cause I didn't get prescribed. I can't. You know, a friend came up and said, "Here, you know, and you could do that. It'll fix it. It'll fix it." But I go, I don't want to break the law. If I break the law, that would be bad, right? So what we're gonna do today? We're talking about guns and weed. So you know, I'm gonna do you a favor and wear the sunglasses and say, hey, look, we're gonna get all duded up and everything. Dude, happening. Well, then, you know, but that gives me another opportunity. I can wear some other sunglasses. Well, I'll put these, you know, my wife's on. They're kind of more funky. Well, I'll tell you why they're funky. Because, Elton John funky. Here we got a story, a lot of you guys may remember this song. Dire Straits has a song called Money for Nothing. Get your money for nothing and your kicks for free. Remember that song? A lot of people, man, that's a very popular song. 25 years that thing's been playing. All of a sudden, Canada has decided that the classic Dire Straits song, Money for Nothing, is too controversial for its airwaves. The line that's suddenly been deemed unacceptable after 25 years on the air is this. See the little faggot with the earring and the makeup. Yeah, buddy, that's his own hair. That little faggot's got his own jet airplane. That little faggot, he's a millionaire. Which, if you're familiar with the song, you already know was meant ironically. But even so, really, Canada? I mean, come on. You know, so this is how bad it's getting. Oh, man, you want to talk about nanny state. You know, here you're not even allowed to listen to your music. I mean, it's banned in Canada. That song banned. Banned, banned, banned. Okay, well, you know, here we get the other sunglasses here. Yeah, they're cooler, man. Yeah, there we go. We're cool, and we're going to be talking about dude, guns, and weed. Now, this is a movie we have had our guests on before. It's Michael Dean and Nima Vedati. Now, Michael, I'm going to let them kind of introduce themselves, but let me go ahead and tell you a little bit here. Michael and Nima have some talents and some skills. Michael's got a bunch of other film projects that he's done. I was looking at the bio. I go, I had no idea he'd done so many. And, you know, getting awards and all kinds of stuff. Then, you know, he's even had some, you know, Hollywood people doing his narrations and so on. I think Robert Downey Jr. was one of them. Then you have Nima Vedati. Now, he's a hip-hop guy. And, you know, by day or by night, whichever it is, he's a news anchor in Wyoming. And he's won awards also. So these guys got some skills. Welcome, Michael and Nima.
How are you doing?
Hey, you know, I'm doing good, man. I'm good. You know, now what I want to do is go ahead and go over, first with Michael, some of your history in the film industry. You know, I had no idea it was so extensive. Tell us a little bit about that.
I don't think I've ever, I wouldn't describe myself as ever having been in the film industry. I lived in California from 86 till about 2 years ago, and lived in L.A. the last 10 years of that, San Francisco before that. And I kind of saw this thing in Hollywood a lot, was like all these people that wanted to connect and get into the industry and the biz, and people that I kind of knew, not good friends or anything, but just people I knew, you know, they got there around the same time I did, and they went out and networked and went to parties and tried to foist screenplays on people and tried to do it through the biz. And I just avoided that and stayed in my apartment and made movies and went out to film people and then came back. And, you know, by the time I'd have a movie out, they'd be moving back to Ohio with their tail between their legs because they weren't picked by the industry gods, you know. But, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. narrated my last film, the one before this. And, you know, it's got Jared Leto in it and some other.
What's the name of it? What's it about?
It's called Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow. It's a documentary about the writer of Last Exit to Brooklyn and Requiem for a Dream and about five other books.
So you find something that's of interest to you and you go, I can just make a movie about it and do it myself.
Yeah. My attitude with art is I never make it just to make it. Like I've taken 5 years between each movie and a lot of people said, you know, you should make one right after the other. You'll build a career. And it's like, I'm not interested in building a career. It's kind of like how when you get a tattoo, you know, I think you should only get a tattoo if there's something that speaks to you so much you want to have it burned into your flesh and scarred with ink. Whereas, you know, some people go into a tattoo parlor and say, I want to get a tattoo, and then pick something off the wall. That's not how I do things.
Yeah, no, I'm hip. Now, you know, let's go ahead and go to Nima. You know, your involvement in this is, how'd you guys hook up?
Well, Michael had actually seen a rap YouTube video I put up called I Own Me. You guys should check that out on YouTube. Just search I Own Me. And he started messaging me back and forth, and I was in Riverton then working as a bureau chief for the news station. Eventually, they moved me up to Casper where Michael lived, and one day he just called me up and was like, hey, you want to come over and eat some buffalo chili? And I was like, yeah, that sounds good. So I went over, had dinner with Michael, and we started talking about guns, weed, movies, music, and it just sort of grew from there.
No, I
stalked him. I stalked him, and then I kidnapped him for liberty.
And he's very talented. I mean, it's a great combination you guys have put together on this because it's always about freedom. But, you know, the thing is guns and weed. Let's go ahead, Michael. Tell us about how that evolved into making – I got to give an endorsement for this. Guns and Weed movie, man. I tell you, it's awesome. And I started watching it on YouTube because I didn't get the DVD yet. And I started watching it. So it was a 16-part. And I guess there's a button you can do to make it just all play together and so on and put it on in my HDMI on my, you know, screen on my wall and doing all that kind of – but whatever. I'm watching four or five episodes, and I'm like, you know, I want to watch this whole thing at one time because it really is good. And I wanted to get my wife to watch it with me, and it's kind of hard for us to gather around the computer. But so I'm hawking for a freebie, you know what I mean? But the deal is that they know me. They know I'll bootleg the living snot out of it, so we got to come to some kind of arrangement. But the this is – as a movie that would be duplicated and placed, you know, while we're doing the wallet voting thing, putting nickels in parking meters, we fed your meter so you didn't feed the state. And, you know, I'd be more than happy to put a copy of Guns and Weed on the windshield along with our little flyer. You know what I mean? So this is, you know, a much wider freedom issue. And you always are more effective when you take and pick one of the very controversial issues and you got two. And here in Arizona, Friday we have Bob Templeton. He's the owner of Crossroads of the West Gun Shows. And they just had a show in Tucson, so you can imagine how much media descended on that. And then they're coming to Phoenix this week. I went to Tucson, met with Bob last Saturday, and we're going to have him on Friday. We've had him on the show before, and he's always been very kind to us. And what I'm going to do is really introduce, you know, these concepts. I think that this would be an excellent movie to distribute at gun shows. Or even I get, you know, we'll go ahead and purchase them from you and sell them. So we're going to work out something, because I see this as an enormously effective activist tool in letting people know, you know, what the real issues are. And what is the real issue? How do these overlap? What's the issue?
Well, the real issue is freedom. I mean, the movie's not, it's got a lot about guns and weed in it, but it's got a lot about a lot of other things. And it, guns and weed are really just an example.
Of the nanny state, getting all nanified. Well, we're going to talk about it more when we come back here with Michael Dean and Nima Vedati. He's both of these guys, very talented, and they got a future and certainly having a voice for many of us. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Hold on, I gotta take my medication for my eyes. That's better. Now I'm legal. And I get my Levolution glasses on. Here we are talking about weed, man. I'm all Chinese eyed and everything. I don't know, should we be mixing guns and weed? What kind of, rhetoric do you give on that one?
Should you mix them or not?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're saying the best thing to do is, you know, get all stoned, go out and go shooting.
We don't really give any advice on whether you should do that.
We actually recommend at the beginning of the movie to never shoot a gun while intoxicated on anything.
That's true. We do that.
Yeah, no, I remember. You know, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to clear that up. Okay.
A lot of gun owners, I mean, there is, if you search the name of this movie on the internet, there's like 120,000 hits right now. I mean, it's not even out, and it's getting a lot of people yakking about it, and a lot of it's negative. A lot of it's gun owners saying, this movie will set the Second Amendment back 20 years, and, you know, on those threads, there's on different forums, there's usually one or two liberty people jumping in and saying, no, man, it's all good. It's all personal responsibility.
No, they're right. It'll set it back 20 years in age. You know, I mean, it'll bring it back to the point to where a much younger generation will equate the two like they haven't before. That it's about freedom. It's about individual liberty. It's about protecting that liberty. And I think it's a great combination. So a lot of the people, the NRA, Republican, kind of whatever,
They hate this movie.
And I can see why. I mean, think about why. Because it takes this new crop of activists, this new crop of people, they can get their NRA life memberships, and they're going, yeah, we're good, man, because you guys aren't really about freedom.
I don't even smoke weed. I hate weed. I smoked weed like 30 years ago, but it's a really good example for liberty because people get in such a bunch about it, you know, and it's wasting money, it's wasting lives. There's people in, you know, the economy would be fixed overnight if you legalized weed, and I'm not saying just by taxing it. I don't like that, although that's what they do to legalize it, but, you know, let the people out of jail and let them go back to their jobs. Yeah. Quit taxing to pay for their time in prison. And, you know, an interesting thing, the bill in California recently legalized it completely, failed by a really narrow margin. It was like 56-43, something like that. It was really close. And a lot of the activism to keep it illegal and just medical use only was funded by the medical marijuana industry there because they have a lot of money invested in keeping the government permission slip going, because if it were legal, people could just grow it in their house and they wouldn't have to go to the dispensaries. The dispensaries are generally a good thing. I'm not bashing them, but that's what happened in California.
No, they're their own industry. The same thing happened here. When they legalized it here in Arizona in the last election cycle, my Freedom Summit partner, Mark J. Victor, is a criminal defense attorney. And he goes, Ernie, hey, man, we're all over this thing, man. We're going to have us some weed dispensaries. And he started, you know, researching the law, and he put his staff and some other attorneys on, and he's got his own law firm and everything. They went at it. And they found out that this whole thing was generated by the industry, that you have to, here in Arizona, he was explaining to me that you not only have to have the dispensary itself, you have to have the distributorship and the farm and the growing and the research. And it's like a whole entire industry
anybody
that you must
who
be
wants
connected
to, go,
to.
Anybody who wants to go in that business should see our movie, because we interview the people who run a place in Denver, and they talk about the incredible, inordinate amounts of hoops they have to jump through and money they have to pay to the state.
Oh, it's all about the money, I can tell you that. Now, the one thing that I wanted to get on is the guns. This is, it's interesting that you would have both of them, but they have a common theme. And the guns issue on this is, how is it been portrayed to be of interest and important to the younger generation? Because that's who this movie appeals to. You know, how is it that they would equate guns with freedom? I mean, I know that, you know, a lot of people would advise that they should, but, you know, what kind of response have you gotten from that?
Nima, you want to take that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of young people realize, and the movie tries to show young people who realize that having a gun means you can defend yourself. Obviously, your body, who you are, is your biggest piece of property, and if you can't defend that, then what good is it? And so you take that sense of self-ownership and I have this, I have to defend it. And a gun is the most self-reliant way to do that. And that gets them thinking about self-ownership in general, which we do try to make the seg and tie this to. Not only do you have the right to defend your body, you have the right to put whatever you want into your body. It's all one thing. It really all just ties back to, do you own yourself? Are you free?
Excellent. Excellent. Now I want to ask Michael, you know, this is, I wouldn't say the movie industry, but in this distribution of online and DVD and making movies like this, where's the opposition coming from commercially? Or is there any, they're just not, you know, begging you to have it put on theater screens? I mean, how is the movie doing commercially, and what was your real goal?
The movie's not even out yet commercially. The goal is to get it in front of as many eyeballs as possible, which is why we released it on BitTorrent and on YouTube before it comes out on DVD in March. But, I mean, really, it's the movie is an attempt to deprogram people from public schools. You know, you have 12 years of public education, and then you sit down and spend 99 minutes watching this movie, and it'll undo all the bullshit that you learn in school.
Oh, good way to put it, because that's exactly what it is. You know,
as far as, like, censorship or anything like that, I mean, it's really, like I said, not out yet. I've gotten a lot of nasty comments about it, and we've gotten a lot of praise about it, too. But one thing that happened was there's this this little micro cinema, art cinema, in San Francisco that's been there for, like, 25 years called ATA, Artist Television Access, on Valencia Street. And they're friends of mine, and I actually learned filmmaking at this place. The first time I ever edited tape to tape was there in, like, 1986. You know, they'd have little free and cheap classes for the neighborhood. And they showed two of my other movies, you know, 5 and 10 years ago, to, like, standing room, line around the block, sold out, have to add a second show kind of showings in this little 100-seat theater. And I thought it'd be a no-brainer that they'd show this. And we wanted to do a, you know, theatrical, you know, initial release in one theater somewhere so it could get in the paper and get some press. And I called them up, and I'm like, hey, it's Michael Dean. They're like, hey, how you doing? And I pitched the movie to them, and they're like, I don't think we can show this here. I think the gun thing would really bum people out. And I'm
here we go.
And I'm like, dude, you're an alternative cinema. You're supposed to show the things that take chances. And he's like, yeah, but it would really upset a lot of our subscribers, you know, people that come in here a lot. If it was just the weed, I'd show it. And I'm like, dude, you've become the fucking mainstream. And he kind of flunked off.
Okay, is it incumbent upon me to admonish you for trash can words, because it's network. Okay, now the thing is that we are going to talk about doing a screening here in Arizona like we did for Liberty the Ron Paul Revolution movie we did at a theater at ASU or near there. And, you know, we'll talk about that when we come back because, you know, we can. Oh, yeah.
That'd be nice.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Oh, the future's so bright. I gotta wear shades. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Now, we're talking with the creators of the movie Guns and Weed, Michael Dean and Nima Vidati. And I wanna emphasize this one opportunity for you. In 2009, at our Freedom Summit, we had a movie night. Thursday night, we did the movie. Friday night was the beginning of the summit. And then the summit went Saturday and Sunday full day. Now, we incorporated, Dr. Paul came and spoke for his third time at the Freedom Summit, and the movie For Liberty had just been done and released, and we said, you know what, we'll go ahead and do this, what I'd like to do for you. We went ahead and contacted Harkins Theaters. It's a big theater chain, locally owned here. They, you know, are real popular and have, you know, in the big malls and all that kind of stuff, and they have a couple of old theaters where they show art films. Now, they have one in Scottsdale, and they have one right by Arizona State University on Mill Avenue. And it's very nice, and you can rent it. It costs like, I don't know, $1,000, $1,500 or something like that. And you can sell tickets and do whatever, and it's your responsibility to collect them at the door. Well, what we did is we went ahead, and we had the radio show done live from there. We made a big deal out of it. It was part of the summit, and a lot of people came that had not seen that movie, and they're going, ooh, that was good. Now, if we do this here in Phoenix, at Tempe, Arizona, Arizona State University, and pump it up, and I get Harkins to take this movie, which, you know, Arizona's a little bit different. I would think they're more commercial, and they're just like, yeah, whatever, give me the money. So we'll see. If you guys are willing to do that, I'll work it out, and we'll have us a theatrical premiere here in Tucson, Arizona by ASU and have us some fun. What say ye?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
Yeah, we'd be honored, and I could probably come out in person to do a Q&A because I have relatives there, and I owe them a visit anyway.
A requirement, and I need the movie.
Well, we'll talk. I'll get you a copy afterwards. Stay on after the interview and give me your real address because the address, I know I sent you one. I think your elves absconded with it or else it's sitting in a pile.
Well, my address is at the bottom of God, I hope I didn't lose it. We're in the process of moving, so it might, you know, got Lord knows where.
Oh, just stay on after the interview and we'll chat. And
okay, no, my email address of my home is at the bottom, very bottom of the front page of Freedom's Phoenix.
Yeah, I sent you one. I think it's sitting under a pile in the office.
Oh!
Or I think one of your workers, elves, absconded with it.
Yeah, my wife. Well, it might be in a pile, so I apologize if I missed it. But go ahead and we'll talk about it. But I want to make sure that people understand this is an important tool in the activist quiver. It's a nice arrow to have to be able to articulate where the commonality is between these two issues. Now, we see a lot of stuff in the news. Weed has almost become, I don't know, cool. I mean, you know, Jay Leno has been hammering it for years. But
Schwarzenegger got high. He admits it.
Yeah, you know,
it's mainstream.
Deal.
It's mainstream.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing that I'm building up to is that, you know, there are other things that they're starting to divert their attention to because there are other products that are coming up that the, you know, youngins are inhaling. You know, there's, I can't remember what they call it. One's spice and there's another one called something. You know, but any report I get from people, they're like, yeah, no, I'm not. No, I don't like that. That, you know, give me the homegrown. And but, you know, do I need the government to decide that it should be illegal or just let the free market kind of, you know, that's just bad stuff. Or, you know, maybe it's good for others. You know, I just don't want to be in a position that I got the government deciding for me. But I would imagine that you guys heard about this and there's all kinds of legislation you're keeping track of.
Well, I'm gonna give you my take on that, and then let Nima talk. We haven't let Nima talk yet. Nima should talk. He's smarter than me. Wyoming is about to outlaw spice right now, and I just wrote this letter. It got published in the Casper Tribune and the Jackson Hole newspaper, and I also emailed it to all the representatives that are co-sponsoring the outlaw spice bill. I'll read it to you. It's pretty short. It says, Some Wyoming legislatures are rushing to ban spice, synthetic marijuana. I don't do drugs, but I'd vote against criminalizing it. Outlawing things only pushes them underground where they do not go away, but simply move into the hands of thugs. And if you outlaw something, people will still do it and also find more dangerous alternatives. I find it ironic that some of the same politicians who want to legalize concealed carry without a permit, which I'm in favor of because it's none of the government's business, and want to repeal Obamacare, I'm in favor of repeal, to keep the government out of our lives, and who back the cowboy code of personal responsibility, also want to empower our state governments with more nanny laws like spice bans and tobacco ordinances on private property. Nanny laws have unintended consequences. If pot were legal, people wouldn't smoke the more possibly more dangerous spice. If you outlaw spice, people will probably huff gasoline, a substance which is much more dangerous and impossible to ban. It's an endless battle. Are we winning the war on drugs? No. And the war on drugs causes violence. And the violence only increases the more illegal you make something, because there's more money in it for people willing to break the law, which attracts more thugs. Alcohol prohibition in the 1920s didn't get rid of alcohol. It put booze into the hands of the mafia and led to shootouts in the streets. Wyoming should follow the lead of other states and legalize medical marijuana. Do we fiscally conservative Wyoming taxpayers really want to pay millions to house and feed people in prison for doing something less harmful than alcohol? And if you call 911 in a real emergency, do you want the police to respond quickly or be stuck across town babysitting by arresting adults who've aggressed against no one to protect people from themselves? Banning every new thing that comes along is the camel's nose under the tent. Outlaw spice and they'll end up outlawing Happy Meals and lead ammunition and hunting and legal carry of guns. Banning every new thing that comes along is an unwinnable battle under the guise of think of the children, but it really just gives the government more power over every aspect of our lives. And I signed it. And it's like, one of the guys I sent this to is a guy who wants machine guns legal and wants open carry legal and wants concealed carry without a permit legal, but he wants cigarette smoking banned in bars and he wants spice illegal. What the fuck, you know?
Bad trash can word, but I agree. Now the thing is that I see where you're going with this. I saw before you even had the movie done. We had the show before. I understand the ramifications of everything that you said, and I think you guys did a fantastic job. And sooner or later, that thing's going to get bootlegged, whether I do it or not. And so, you know, we're going to have to try and hold that off as long as we can.
It's already bootlegged. It's on Pirate Bay.
Ah, I'm sorry. What is that website?
PirateBay.org.
PirateBay.org.
It's actually linked from our website, GunsAndWeed.com.
GunsAndWeed.com. Okay.
But it is coming out commercially. We're doing this really weird business plan. It's like, give it away free on the internet, but DVDs cost $100.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool. Well, you know, I'm looking for the kind of feedback that you might be getting from the other side. I mean, we have two industries. You know, they are industries. There's advocacies, there's special interests, there's freedom-oriented just individuals. And then, you know, you got the kind of isolated people that are in the gun industry and isolated people that are in the marijuana industry, because it has become an industry. I saw it happen here in Arizona. In fact, AZ Normal, we were very much against this taxing thing and how they were, you know, talking about promoting it. And we're just like, you know, we're just not interested. I mean, you know, you're welcome to come and talk to us. You're welcome to come on the show. You know, we're friends with some of the people. But I see where this is going. You're just being a foot soldier for the special the industry, the marijuana medical complex.
We hate, well, I hate, I think Nima too, like, hates the idea of single interest, special interest groups, you know? Like, the NRA hates the pot people. Normal hates the gun people. Everybody has their own little thing. And people who vote, for instance, I know you don't believe in voting, but it's a good example of how people think. People who are into pot being legal will vote for a candidate who wants to legalize pot, regardless of what other heinous, shitty stuff he wants to do. And people who want to protect their gun rights will vote for someone who promises to do that, no matter what else people do, you know, whatever else they do. And it's like, if you're into single issues, you're going to be so fragmented that all the liberty is going to eventually go away anyway.
I'm hip. We want to do a theatrical release here on Freedom's Phoenix and declare your independence. We'll take care of it, talk about more when we come back here in just a little bit. You guys don't go away.
Nima, you got to jump in. I'll shut up.
Okay.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, just surrender. It won't hurt at all. Obama may call for gun control during State of the Union. Democratic Party donors, members of Congress, and gun control groups are being urged to lobby the president to speak on gun control laws during the upcoming State of the Union address, according to an investigative NBC report. Blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, it's a media thing. Well, we got somebody in the media. You know, who do we got in the media? On the guns and weed, we have somebody in the media. What is it that they do? Well, you know, by day, they're Clark Kent. And then later, he's Superman. Well, let's go ahead and talk to Nima Vedati. I want to go ahead and get your take on guns and weed here and how, as being someone in the media. Now, you're a reporter on television. Where at in the country?
Well, now I'm in Washington State. I just moved. I've been here for about a month. When I was working on the movie, I was in Wyoming. So, obviously, Wyoming was a much better place to do stories on guns. In fact, a lot of the stories I did were about gun freedom when I was in Wyoming. They passed the Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act, and we did a story. We had a lot of the governor's candidates come out and shoot guns with us at the guns range. So, here in Washington, things don't seem quite as liberty-friendly.
So what's the response from these guys as they're learning about you guys doing this film, you know, and you're so high-profile in this thing? Do they have any of them actually seen the film?
Well, the folks in Wyoming, I'm pretty sure, are privy to it now that I'm not there. And so they know about it, and you know, my coworkers, they were on board with it. They thought it was great. Here in Washington, they don't all know yet, and in fact, I don't know if any of them know yet. I'll let them figure it out themselves. I'm not really ready to come out and let them know. I mean, the thing with media is you just can't peg people sometimes, and we do have a bad reputation in the media for being sort of anti-freedom. I mean, the concept always seems to be find a problem and then think of why the government isn't fixing it, and then push for the government to fix it. That sort of seems to be the feeling that you get when you talk to other people in the media.
Oh, another thing. I got to bring this up. Vedati, what kind of name is that?
That's Iranian. I'm half Persian. My dad came over from Iran a little bit before the Islamic Revolution.
Terrorist! You're a terrorist with a gun and weed! And weed! You know, this is, yeah, I can see the fun that this could happen. And I can also understand why, you know, I'm wondering, how do they see you as, their token Middle Eastern, Persian kind of, dark-skinned, bearded guy? I mean, you know, when this comes out, guns and weed, you're going to blow their mind.
Yeah, but that's him, but then I'm a middle-aged, white, you know, believing in God gun nut who carries the Constitution in his pocket. That's the other profile they look for.
Right. The great thing, though, is, I mean, I like to... It's all about the issue. It's all about the freedom. And that's what I think people will see. You know, it doesn't matter what people look like, what stereotypes people fit into. The only thing that matters is freedom and being free. And do you have government guys with guns coming to take away your freedom, or do you not? And do you want that? Do you want them to take away other people's freedoms? If you're into guns, do you want them to come and bust people for smoking a joint? If you do, then you need to watch our movie and realize that that's ridiculous.
Didn't your dad leave Iran to get away from Sharia-type stuff, too?
Well, yeah. It wasn't Sharia-type stuff yet. I mean, it was a commie revolution before the Islamic people took it over. And so they actually, the Shah was busting people. He actually closed down my dad's university he was going to. And so my dad didn't get to go to college for about a year because they closed down the school because there were students protesting.
Because there were students learning.
Learning. Well, that's one thing that we can look forward to in this movie. And I'm wondering, at the end of this, after it kind of built, because this is what's coming, you got the 2012 election cycle, and it usually starts right about now. I mean, you know, everybody's positioning, they're getting, and what libertarian activists often do is drive the debate. You know, what issues are going to be important to certainly the youth and the energy of this country, and, you know, why? And this film, I can see, is such a powerful tool. It's like a America, Freedom, the Fascism kind of stuff. You know, the Ron Paul Revolution, Revolution documentary. You know,
except it's fun. Except it's fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Not any libertarian documentaries have much humor in them. That's one reason we tried to put a lot in this one.
Right. A lot of other documentaries. I mean, I was depressed after watching Freedom to Fascism. It was a great movie, but I had nightmares, you know, afterwards. This one, you have laughs. You feel good. And you feel positive that if you just change your mindset and get other people to realize, then things will be better.
I agree. You know, and I'm really glad you guys did it. What's the next phase for you guys on this? You know, are you looking for big, giant, oh, my goodness, here comes the internet sales? What are you pumping? Are you got film festivals coming up? What's going on?
We're not entering film festivals for the same reason. Like the way that good friend of mine in San Francisco said, I can't program your movie. That attitude is the same attitude at most major film festivals. You know, Sundance would program this in a second if it was gay rights and weed or, you know,
and weed. Yep.
Unions and weed, but or weed and weed. But the guns thing, you know, and it's a really well-made movie, even though we made it for $2,350.
No, it is. It's a high quality. You know what you're doing. You got really.
No, it's better than things I've seen at Sundance. But you know, it's like that South Park. You know, the grainy movie with bad audio about gay cowboys eating pudding is the star of most film festivals.
You know, we have in the film industry, there's all kinds of stuff that comes up. You know, today we just have one that we're going to be putting up is funny man Seth Rogen was left stunned by a recent encounter with movie-making hero George Lucas. And George Lucas was convincing him and Steven Spielberg, they were in a meeting saying the world's coming to an end in 2012. You know, but they do all his movies. I mean,
if the world's coming to an end in 2012, and that's what all the progressives think, they should just vote for Ron Paul.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
You know,
while we can.
And it may very well, you know, happen. But you know, the point is that you have such large, influential media moguls that they don't want to have the apple cart upset. It just takes time to realize what the apple cart is. And
well, this is going to be the little movie that could. This movie is going to trickle out and be around for 10 or 20 years,
yes,
and people still be talking about it. That's like everything I've ever done. And no, we're not looking for the big Hollywood splash. Hollywood wouldn't touch this. Film festivals won't touch it. You know, the internet will love it, and people will get copies of it. We're getting it into schools, too. The original, the first release coming out in March is only to colleges. And it's, you know, it's going into a catalog that has movies praising Che Guevara and union organizers. And, you know, a lot of people won't deal with people that don't agree with their personal philosophy. But our distributor doesn't have any philosophy except making money. And I think that's the best philosophy to deal with to get something out in the world.
Absolutely. You know, the one thing that I'm really looking forward to do is just have it in eventually sometime when it just kind of sort of magically appears on the hard drives of my duplicators, is that always have this type of film available for the future. And we have so many that are so effective depending on what the news of the day is. When you have 500 to 1,000 of just the right movie with just the right message at just the right time, and they always advocate for freedom's the answer, what's the question? And the question here is, you know, is it or is it not my life? And if it's my life, well, I can do what I want with it and put in what I want, as long as I'm not bothering you. Oh, and by the way, I get to defend my life from you wanting to do with it what you want to do. So I see the link with these. It's so convenient to be able to make the right pitch. And I'm wondering, did you consciously see it that way from the beginning, or did it just kind of make more and more links as you were putting it together?
No, I think we did consciously see that way. I mean, we brainstormed a lot about this movie, and originally it was going to be, you know, sort of libertarianism 101, freedom 101, and we wanted to boil it down and simplify it and make it to where it could be about something small and at the same time about something big, and Guns and Weed was the perfect way to do that.
Perfect. Guys, thanks for coming on. Go ahead and stay on. We'll go ahead and talk at top of the hour. I got a little bit during the news break. And we'll see about bringing it to Phoenix, Arizona here. Done it before. Great success. Have a good time with it. And this is the place to do it. We just got marijuana legalized, decriminalization of concealed carry without a permit and all kinds. Oh, I'm thinking, where might we want to show this movie? Maybe Arizona. You know, we'll talk about it off air, and I'll keep you guys informed here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and on the front pages of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. You guys stay right there. Don't go away.
This is Ernest Hancock. I'm publisher of freedomsphoenix.com and the radio talk show host of Declare Your Independence. Now, I want to give you my personal endorsement of a wealthy U.S. citizen that is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He's produced a video for you. It's a real eye-opener, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to watch it. www.endofamerica1and7.com. endofamerica17.com. This video has the history of how we got where we are now and where we're going and why. Now, it's a lengthy video. It'll be about 20 minutes, but you need to watch this so you understand what's going to happen to this country and how you can protect your wealth and even benefit financially. Now, you go there. It's free. I want you to watch this video. You need to have this information so that you can survive the economic collapse that's coming to America. It's not if, it's when. That's End of America, the numbers 1and7.com. After you watch it, you'll understand why I endorsed it.